Welcome to TW Now, where we examine today's news and issues in light of the Bible. I'm Scott Winnale. What do you know about the current e-cigarette craze? What is vaping or juuling? Certainly you've noticed the vape shops that have opened in the last few years. If you're a teenager, chances are that you know about vaping. If you have a teenager in your life, chances are he or she knows about vaping. I can just about guarantee it. E-cigarettes, vaping, and juuling have earned a lot of press in the last few years. These non-smoke producing devices almost always pack a powerful hit of nicotine, which we'll talk about, but without some of the more negative side effects of cigarette smoking. At least, that's what we're being told. Many teenagers and young adults are now using these devices, even at school and in their classrooms. Many believe them to be absolutely safe. Are e-cigarettes and vaping safe? How should Christians view the use of these modern smokeless cigarettes? There is more to the story than most users think. If you don't use these products, you need to know about them and their inherent risks anyway. Today's returning guests will discuss the topic today, and they'll provide you with insights that you may not be aware of. I'd like to introduce our returning guests. Mr. Wyatt Soselka is here today. He's visiting from Raleigh, North Carolina. He's a minister and a Tomorrow's World writer. He's spent a great deal of time researching this subject over the last couple of years and has co-authored an article entitled What Parents Should Know About Vaping. So it's good to have you back with us.
Hello.
And thank you for making the trip over today.
Thank you.
Dr. Richard Franz is a chiropractor and a church pastor. He's spent decades studying and teaching about the human body and the effects of personal behavior on the human body. He's also put a great deal of study into how God views health. And he's joining us today via Skype from St. Louis, Missouri. Welcome back, Dr. Franz.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
For our audience, if you have questions as we talk today, please do feel free to message us, and we'll do our best to get to some of your questions, questions that relate to the topic of the day. Also, we encourage you to please subscribe to our YouTube channel, like and share today's program as well. Well, gentlemen, let's go ahead and get started. And Dr. Franz, I'm going to go ahead and pitch this question to you to begin with. Would you, for our benefit, please let us know what e-cigarettes are? What is vaping? What is juuling?
There's an acronym, ENDS. It stands for Electronic Nicotine Delivery Systems. And they're battery-operated devices that actually have a coil and a wick, and they're usually soaked with an oil. And they resemble e-cigarettes or electronic cigarettes from years gone by, but now they come in different shapes and sizes, and a lot of it is the most popular ones, it seems, are those that are shaped in the form of a USB drive. So they're very inconspicuous. They're marketed by their more mild odor as opposed to the obnoxious tobacco smoke. But there's many different devices, and there's over 460 companies now involved in this business.
Okay. Mr. Selka.
Hello. Juul is the market leader. I think it's around 75% market share, something in that range. But they're not the only player. There are many, as Dr. Franz mentioned, other manufacturers, some names, Vaporesso, Surin, Smoke Novo, Mi Pod, Smoke Infinix. So as he mentioned, they heat up a liquid. I know we'll talk more about that later. Most of these e-cigarettes also contain nicotine salt, which I know we'll talk about later. And of course, that affects the brain and the body and so forth. But it is a way to inconspicuously, a lot of times, without some of the harsh effects of a traditional cigarette, get a buzz, get a hit, essentially from nicotine, as well as potentially, you know, flavoring agents and things like that.
So do most of these e-cigarette devices contain nicotine?
Right. So that's something that we were talking about. It's very interesting. Most of them do. And it appears that most of the youth and most of the population still do not know that most e-cigarettes do contain nicotine. I think one of the reports we were looking at from the National Institute on Drug Abuse mentioned that 66% of teens thought that e-cigarettes just had flavoring chemicals, which we need to talk about later in the program, because even just the flavoring chemicals can be toxic and carcinogenic. And about 13% of teens didn't know that they had nicotine. So it seems like there's still a lot of miseducation, and a lot of people don't know that e-cigs contain nicotine, which is very harmful.
Okay. Anything else you want to add, Dr. Franz?
Well, Mrs. Selka just said the teens are a susceptible audience, that they don't know the product that they are so seem to be getting involved with on a growing basis. There's so much unknown about e-cigarettes and vaping and juuling. And it was initially promoted as something that was a safe alternative to cigarette tobacco smoking. And it is safer, but we have to remember that when we compare anything to cigarette smoking tobaccos, we're comparing it to the most deadly, lethal, avoidable substance known to man almost, that it takes so many human lives every year. So the comparison really isn't a fair comparison, but that was been sold to our youth. This is a safer alternative. Well, a dog might be safer than a shark bite, but I'm not signing up for either one of them.
Interesting.
And before we move on, and good point, maybe we could add that, because we're asking, you know, we're talking about what are juuls and what are e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I just found it interesting that the Food and Drug Administration, the U.S.-based government agency that manages and monitors, food and drugs, they put a moratorium on juul advertising on social media. And so for parents and grandparents and uncles and teachers and so forth that might be listening, and for teens or anyone who's thinking about vaping, I just think it's a very telling statistic that Juul is reporting a continued growth in sales. I think, Dr. Franz, didn't you mention you saw something that maybe 20% growth perhaps by Juul that they were going to report 20-25%, and that's even with a moratorium on social media advertising. So I know we're going to talk more about the liquids and so forth, but what are e-cigs, what is juuling, what is vaping? It's an electronic device and so forth, but it's also something that clearly is very powerful, because even without social media advertising, market share is growing, usage is growing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to remember too, or be aware that a lot of the tobacco industry has money heavily invested in these e-cigarette firms. And tobacco companies are long known for their deceptive advertising to convince people to smoke tobacco, which has been a killer for decades. And now they're buying into this e-cigarette and the vaping and the juuling, with billions of dollars heavily invested. And you have to ask yourself why, and if that company was deceiving me before and had to be brought to court to fess up that their product was a danger to our lives, what is it that's in vaping that's so attractive to them now? And what do I need to be on my about my P's and Q's before I get involved with such a thing? Mm.
So let's go into this conversation a little bit more deeply. The general question or area that I want to discuss next, or have you discuss with us, is, are cigarettes, is vaping, juuling really safe? And is it even safer than regular cigarette smoking? Let me just share a couple of questions that we have to get you going, gentlemen. One question from YouTube is, I've heard that the concentration of nicotine is much stronger in e-cigarettes than conventional cigarettes. Is that true? People are asking whether nicotine really is dangerous and addictive. And another question, this is interesting, are e-cigarettes equally as bad or worse than regular cigarettes health-wise? So if you can think about those as we talk about, are e-cigarettes really safe? Why don't we start out with the level of nicotine in them? Mr. Soselka, you want to start with that one?
Juul was putting in about 5% nicotine by weight for quite a while. Because of government and social pressure, they pulled that back a little bit. The other manufacturers began at 2 or 3% nicotine by weight, but Juul then seems to have increased back up closer to 5%, and the other manufacturers are also about 5% as well. To put that in perspective, you're looking at somewhere between smoking one pack of cigarettes and maybe a pack and a half or two packs of cigarettes
in just one cartridge.
Out of one cartridge, and what's really, if I could just say one more thing, it's really, kids, youth, teens, adults, it doesn't matter what age you are, I think this is something that everybody needs to be to listen to and be careful to think about. Because of how they're manufactured and because the nicotine is nicotine salt, not free-based nicotine, then it's less harsh when you take that hit. Then you add the flavoring chemicals and so forth. So it's very common for people to do an entire Juul pod or more, and that's the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes or two pack cigarettes.
So at one time.
And the stories are very common, of kids or adults just knocking out a whole Juul pod. So, poison's poison. But, one puff is not what most people are doing. A lot of people are doing many, many puffs.
Okay, that's important to remember, that many of these things are the equivalent of 1 to 2 packs of cigarettes just in one, what they call, pod.
And I believe, I have to double check, but even the flavored Juul pods do contain nicotine. There may be one that doesn't, but almost all e-cigarettes contain nicotine.
Okay. What would you like to add, Dr. Franz?
Now, to be fair, is when a Juul person is taking a puff, they're not getting the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes with that puff. So they'd have to use that whole pod. So it'd be like if they do sit down and smoke or vape the whole pod, yes, then it'd be like sitting down and having a full pack of cigarettes. It's interesting to note that the chemicals that are used in those pods are in and of themselves inert. They're not cytotoxic. They don't kill cells until they're heated, and that's exactly the element that's in a vapor or in a Juul. If there's a heating element, that's a coil that's wrapped around the wick that heats that to become a vapor, and now all of a sudden you have things like nickel and lead and cadmium and other elements that aren't safe anymore. And in fact, there's a study that says there's teenagers who smoked e-cigarettes have higher levels of cancer-causing agents in their bodies than non-smokers. So that's telling that what we're introducing to our body isn't harmless at all. It's a matter of time before we find out this full spectrum of what is going into our bodies when we vape or Juul.
So I'm going to just clarify for our audience, if I heard you correctly, what you're saying is a number of the chemicals that are in these e-cigarettes, oven by themselves, really they're not dangerous, but when we heat them through the device, which is exactly the way that the device works, then they become quite dangerous.
That's right. So what we just said is, so when we use this product properly, we're creating a danger that we should have no business introducing to our body.
Part of my background is in smoking prevention years ago in another life. And there's a saying that is used in that sort of smoking prevention industry that cigarettes are one of the only products that's legally available that when used as directed will eventually kill the user.
Right.
And so it's sort of more of the same here.
So some of those chemicals that Dr. Franz and you were referencing, not all of them are dangerous, right? Glycerol is a humectant, and it helps add moisture to the vapor. But some of the flavorings produce chemicals and toxins, and also there's benzoic acid in vape juice, which the FDA has determined is hazardous. Formaldehyde, very toxic, very carcinogenic. Benzene, acetamide. So there's different chemicals in the liquid, and many of these are known to be toxic and known to be carcinogenic. So it's in addition to the nicotine. And one thing that we were talking about in preparation for the program was how some of these toxins destroy the healthy tissue, healthy cell walls. And then on the other hand, you have nicotine, which inhibits the repair of healthy cell walls. And so we're starting to see these problems out there. It's all over the news. I saw it on NBC News and heard it on the radio, where a lot of youth and people are coming down with wet lung and throat problems and so forth. And it's still new, but it seems like it's connected to vaping.
Yeah, we should probably point that out for our audience too, that we're very aware that the research base on e-cigarettes is pretty shallow right now because it's a very new product. There's new research coming out, it seems like, weekly, and it's not overly encouraging when we look at it. Some of the research that's being done or the connections that are being made actually are looking back at what we've known, for example, for decades about some of these other chemicals and what happens when they get into the body, including nicotine. Dr. Franz, with regard to nicotine, maybe you could begin talking a little bit about, because we had a question about that, is there much danger in nicotine? I think everybody knows nicotine is highly addictive. I mean, people put that on par with heroin, or science puts it on par with heroin in terms of its addictiveness. But what are some of the other issues potentially with nicotine, health issues?
Well, a big health issue is the development of our brains. Youth, as a young person, our brain continues to develop all the way through age 25 and a little bit beyond. It inhibits that. We're not able to focus. And nicotine, on some of the research that's out there, is really a gateway to other addictive behaviors. So it opens up the Pandora's box. Once I'm addicted to nicotine on this, what looks like an innocuous device that nobody even knows that I have, is really changing the elements of my brain to have me become more addictive to other things that are out there. And of course, number one concern is, will somebody using e-cigarettes then turn around and start using tobacco cigarettes? And of course, that's a catastrophe we want to avoid at all costs.
In fact, I think, did you have a study? We read a study earlier,
right,
that had to do with the risk of developing smoking behavior.
Yeah, I think I found it here. Start smoking within 6 months. So teen e-cig users are more likely to start smoking. E-cig users are 30% more likely to start smoking within 6 months.
Than
those who don't smoke. And again, also to repeat what I said earlier, a lot of teens don't know that nicotine's even part of the e-cig formula.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dangerous on its own. It's also a gateway.
Any other thoughts about nicotine?
I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said, well, what if God made tobacco plants, what are they for? God made lots of things. It doesn't mean we should eat everything that God made or drink everything God made. And I just happened to know the answer to that question because you and I had researched this for an article a while ago. And so for our audience, what were tobacco and what was nicotine originally used for, in the industrialized world? To kill bugs, poison, insecticide. In the 17th and 18th century, all the way up through World War I and World War II, nicotine was known as really the most effective and potentially the deadliest and most harmful to animals pesticide known to Western civilization. So now we're taking that same thing that kills bugs and was known to be harmful to animals, and society is wanting to smoke it. After World War II, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, banned nicotine as a pesticide because why? It was too harmful to animals. Now, of course, it's high dosages and so forth, but still, what's nicotine good for? Killing bugs. Just a couple medical terms, and you gentlemen probably know this better than me, but what is nicotine? What are some side effects? Increased risk of blood clots, peptic ulcers. We're reading lots of accounts of people developing ulcers that are juuling and vaping. Lung spasms, changes your heart rhythm, messes with your brain. It does give you a sense of heightened awareness. That's sort of the buzz. But it also prohibits and inhibits the repair of cell walls. And as I mentioned earlier, some of the flavorings destroy cell walls. Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous, very dangerous.
It depresses the immune system, increases the risk of certain kinds of cancers.
Right.
So, other thoughts about the safety of e-cigarettes, Dr. Franz?
The safety of e-cigarettes, it's like Mrs. Sucker just said, there is this is a new territory for us, and the research is really fluid, and you have to be very careful on who you read and who's sponsoring the research that you read. Everything that you said is accurate and pretty complete, but I think the bottom line is it should perk up our ears that, again, the tobacco industry, a lot of tobacco industry, R.J. Phillips and R.J. Reynolds and Phillips Morris are backing this industry. And it has to give us pause to say, wait a minute, they didn't treat us so well in their last venture called cigarettes. There's something going on here, and maybe I should decide against this, at least until there's more research and long-term data that's available.
I mean, Juul was founded in 2015, I believe, and we're not just beating up on a particular manufacturer, but they're the most well-known. And they were founded in 2015. I believe in 2018 they reached $2 billion as a company. I mean, that's huge. So what should we, that was the revenue, not just market share, revenue of $2 billion. As Mr. Weston, Gerald Weston, has kind of, you know, warned in articles and sermons, you know, we should kind of take pause at becoming part of that. When a company has grown from nothing to $2 billion, we should ask ourselves, you know, what's behind that? You know, is money and capitalism and wealth and greed behind that? Are these savvy marketing people and so forth? And if you're a young person or an adult, you know, ask yourself, do you want to give your money to a multi-billion dollar industry when there's nothing helpful or healthful in an e-cigarette? It's not helpful. It's harmful.
I have from the Huffington Post, just to piggyback on what you just said, Mrs. Silka, tobacco giant Ultra, who used to be Philip Morris, bought 35% stake in Juul. This is December 2018. The 35% stake in Juul cost them $12.8 billion. So to your point, and then some more.
Right.
They see something there. Mm-hmm. Well, let's push forward a little bit. We've talked about health risks, and certainly there are plenty of them. And you guys have just sort of touched the surface. There's a lot more out there. Give science another year or two, and there will be even more. But what about the Bible? I mean, we go to the Bible. I don't think I've found a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not vape. What is the Bible's perspective, Mr. Sasselka, we'll start with you, on this whole concept of e-cigarettes and vaping?
There's so much we could say. You know, one point I'd like to make is we're not to put anything before God. The first commandment, no other gods before God. Of course, we're not to lie. The ninth commandment, don't lie. You know, we're not to covet. We're not to steal. So often, especially the youth, they will find themselves purchasing, you know, vape e-cigs without their parents' permission. Well, that's breaking, you know, you're supposed to honor our father and mother. Sometimes they'll be redirecting money to buy, you know, to support their habit.
Redirecting money, what do you mean?
Maybe an allowance or their parents think they're spending money on lunch or clothes, but they're actually buying, you know, e-cigarettes. So there's a lifestyle that seems to surround and be part of e-cigarettes and juuling and vaping that raises a lot of questions for a Christian. If you become addicted to something and you're coveting that, you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments. You're breaking many of the Ten Commandments. Anything that we crave If we crave it more than things that are good for us, if we crave it more than a relationship with God, if it becomes an addiction, then it becomes an idol. So I know we'll talk some more, but I would just caution all of our viewers that vices, you know, back in the old days, they talked about vices. We don't use the word vice anymore very much. But anything that's an addiction or a vice can very easily become an idol, something you covet. You're putting it before God. The next thing you know, you're hiding and stealing and cheating and dishonoring your parents and sneaking around and so forth. And you're obsessed with this idol. It's an idol of the heart. So we'll talk more, but that is, to me, one of the biggest dangers, because it is addictive. Nicotine is more addictive than cocaine, more addictive than heroin. Now, one more comment. I was talking to somebody.
Gram for gram.
I was talking to somebody recently, and they had beat cocaine. They'd beat heroin. This person, I think God is working with them, and they're a recovering addict. They cannot give up tobacco. Wow. You know.
Dr. Franz.
Well, The definition of an addict is one that becomes a slave to a habit-forming substance, be it heroin, nicotine, alcohol, whatever it is. And Scripture tells us we can't serve two gods. We obey the God. The one that we become a slave to is the one that we obey, and there is only one God. To give ourselves over to an addictive substance, we think we're going to... I think we're the ones that are able to. I could do both. I could worship God, but I just need this cigarette. And Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and one of those mentioned is self-control. When I'm an addict to something, I'm not controlling myself anymore. I'm controlled. This substance I've taken into my body, I've allowed to control me. And then, like we talked about earlier, 1 Corinthians 6:19, that our body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit, and it is not our own. That means we can't treat it any way we desire. We have to take care of this. It is the temple of God, which should be awe-inspiring. Just hearing that, no matter how often that we've heard that scripture read to us.
Mm. Well, that scripture, though, sort of goes against much of the modern notion today, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people think, well, this is my body. As long as I'm not hurting anybody else, sort of get out of my business and let me do what I want to do. And you're suggesting that that's not the way God thinks?
That's not the way God thinks at all. God thinks he owns us. He sent his son, his only son, and he came to this earth and he died for us while we were yet sinners. We've been bought and paid for. That'd be like taking something home from the electronics store, and they only give you 98% of the product. Well, it doesn't work without the other 2%. Well, if you bought it, you own it. God bought and paid for us. He owns us. Mm.
Mr. Silk,
A couple quick comments. As you gentlemen are talking about 1 Corinthians, I just want to read it for the audience from the Bible here. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, just to read it. It's what you're saying. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, from whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 24, you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God. So we were bought by price. God owns us. I just wanted to also add that in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 12, we're told that just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's something that is helpful or something that we should necessarily do. And society might legalize all kinds of things. Society has legalized many things that are contrary to God's law, contrary to what's good for us. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:12, just because something is lawful according to the laws of society doesn't mean it's helpful or good. So let's not fall into that trap either. Before Christ returns, I'm sure there'll be all kinds of horrible things that will be legalized. There already are. Doesn't mean we should go do them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting too, if we just read a little bit further in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, glorify God in your body. So we can, that principle, we can use every day of our life to make a decision. Should I do this or shouldn't I? And the question would be then, is this going to glorify God? And if the answer is either neutral or negative, we said, no, when in doubt, don't. We don't need this. It has no redeeming values. We've been doing fine without it. And it's a big company that's behind all of this and wants to take control of what is already God's.
You know, Revelation 21, we've mentioned this on past TW Now programs. I know some of our audience will know where I'm going. But Revelation 21, and let's see, around verse 8, I believe, says that outside of the New Jerusalem, so outside of God's kingdom, these are those who will not be in the kingdom of God, are people who have not repented of these various sins. And one of these sins is sorcery. And as we've talked about before, I think most people now are kind of, many people are familiar with this. You can look it up in a Greek concordance, and that's pharmakeia, which can mean drugs or pharmaceuticals, illegal or harmful drugs. And so there are references even in Revelation to people who have not repented of these sins, not being in God's kingdom. And one of those sins is drugs. I mean, God doesn't want us to put anything before Him, especially for harming our body. If we don't understand, like you gentlemen are mentioning, that our body is owned by Him. How can God say to us, welcome into my kingdom, but yet you've been hurting yourself and you're putting something before me? He says He won't have us in the kingdom if that's our attitude.
And again, going back to what Paul writes, he talks about we're competing for a prize. And he says, be temperate in all things. Exercise self-constraint. If something's pleasurable, and Scripture tells us sin is pleasurable for a time, if something's pleasurable, it doesn't mean that it's from God. We are fighting for an imperishable crown. We don't want to take any chances. We don't want anything to be altering our mind in a way that would be detrimental to us, not only on our everyday life and how we interact with people, but our prayer life, our Bible study, our meditation time. What are we thinking about during that time? Are we thinking about where we're getting at our next hit? Or are we thinking about the things of God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and remember, you know, as we'll mention on the program sometimes, that Scripture says that Satan is the god of this age, and he's also the father of lies, as it says he's the father of lies in John 8:44. Just be careful. I think all of us, myself included, we need to be careful about what the media tells us. You know, if big industry is making billions of dollars, and we know that Satan is influencing this age so much, we just need to be careful. Anything that drives a wedge between us and good health, us and prayer, us and thinking about God, us and meditating on good things, that's also driving a little bit of a wedge between us and God. Mm-hmm. So an addiction will do that. Mm-hmm. Harming our bodies is contrary to God's desire for us. We have to remember that Satan is the one behind all of this.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, we need to bring this to a close. But before we do, I would like to ask you, and we'll start with you, Dr. Franz, what kind of takeaway would you like to leave our audience with today regarding our conversation about e-cigarettes and vaping?
Well, I think I want to stick with the Apostle Paul as he was writing to Timothy and to Titus. He was telling them both leadership in a church, people in God's church, should be sober-minded. Wives should be reverent, not slanderers, temperate. Older men should be sober, reverent, and temperate. What does that mean? Sound in mind, self-controlled, having control of their facilities. God has given us that. We should not give that up for anything, whether people are paying us or we're paying them. Again, like we said earlier, we are God's, and we're bought and paid for. We should maintain that control of our hearts and our minds for the good and the edification of what God's purposes is for us. Don't give that up. It's so precious, and once it's given up, it's so difficult to get back. So if you haven't started any of these bad habits that we've talked about today, absolutely, positively don't. Go to your pastor, go to your mom and dad, and ask them for support. That if you're being pressured from your peers, go to them and have them help you to to really get solid in God's word and your beliefs, because if you're trying to avoid these things, you're doing the right thing. Hang in there.
Mr. Silka.
God wants us to be a special chosen people. He wants us to we're special to him. He wants us to be a little different, and we're owned by him. And so to add on to what Dr. Franz said, if you're struggling, if there's temptation, if you're addicted, if you're fighting peer pressure, if you're the father or mother or uncle or aunt of someone who's fighting with addiction of any sort, Hebrews chapter 4 is a uplifting chapter, and down around verses 15 and 16, it tells us that we have a compassionate high priest, and we should go to him. We should go to God, go to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was tested in all points. We understand that, you know, vaping wasn't available back in Jesus Christ's time in, 2,000 years ago. But there were addictions and people were sinning, and he had to live above reproach. He lived perfectly. He never sinned. And he can sympathize because he experienced life, right? He experienced life without sin. So Hebrews 4, 15, 16, go to God in prayer. As Dr. Franz mentioned, talk to a pastor. If you need help from a counselor, medical help, don't neglect that as well. But go to God in prayer and say, help me to have the strength to avoid this. I don't want to get addicted in the first place. It's much harder to get, to break the habit. Mm-hmm. But if you are struggling with addiction, ask God for help. And he can help you overcome anything. He really can. That's the power of God and Jesus Christ living in you.
Right.
Mr. Silka, thanks for those comments, and thank you for being on the program again today.
Thank you.
Dr. Franz, thank you, sir. Thank you for the time you gave us today and for your insights.
Thank you. My pleasure.
E-cigarettes and vaping were originally developed as a less dangerous alternative to smoking for those who are addicted to cigarettes. At least that's what we've been told and we've discussed. They were never intended as safe alternatives to smoking. We've seen today that these electronic cigarettes are still dangerous and hazardous to one's health. They still lead to an increased risk of heart disease, and they still carry all the risks of nicotine consumption, including addiction, acting as a gateway drug to traditional cigarettes, cancer risk, and even memory damage for youth. Nicotine and some of the other chemicals present in e-cigarettes do harm the body, the entity, as we've talked about, that the Bible calls the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And as we've just discussed, it's something God says clearly belongs to him. The credible research on e-cigarette use is just beginning to come in. More dangerous findings are sure to come. To learn more about addictive substances and why we use them, we encourage you to read our article, Why We Get High. And you can see that link on your screen right now. We do encourage you to read that. It's free and it's a quick read, but it will be very informative. For more biblical insights into today's news and pressing issues, we encourage you to join us each week here on TW Now. Next week, we plan to go in a little bit different direction and answer the critical spiritual question, who is burning in hell? You won't want to miss it. Again, we invite you to be sure to subscribe, to like, or to share today's program. And again, see you next week.